coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. We refuse to be silenced. HagmanReport.com, two ends on Hagman for all video and audio portions of today's program. Please bookmark HagmanReport.com, again, two ends on Hagman. Also, HagmanStore.com for copies of In the Dark of Night, which is really, if it were to be listed, it would be considered a bestseller. Nine or 10 countries right now, thousands of copies. In the Dark of Night, go to Amazon.com, or certainly you can get it on Amazon, both in the Kindle and paperback editions, as well as HagmanStore.com, where there, if you like, you just I'll send you out a copy, I'll sign it, but in the notes section, be really specific on how you'd like it inscribed. So HagmanStore.com or on Amazon. All right. A lot of news, a lot of information to get into today. But I think the biggest thing right now is when we talk from this platform about issues, we talk about problems, and the majority of people out there too are looking for solutions. And we have a solution about a very serious problem that's only going to get worse. Now, historians are going to be looking back at this time period, if there will be any history books that will be written. And in the early days of this scandemic, plandemic, whatever you want to call it, there's a turning point here, a turning point of societal evolution, an unprecedented assault on our most basic civil liberties that somehow few, very few people seem to really understand. The usual stooges, the usual think tank occupiers, those people have asserted for decades, especially after 9/11, that, hey, this assault on your civil liberties, really, it's for your own good. Well, where are we today? Where are we today? Well, let me just address this. Right now, we are looking at spyware such as Pegasus and other very similar types that have infected all of our communication platforms. Also, 90%, this according to an FBI source, 90%, 90 to 95% roughly, of all of their current cases are built off of information that you either typed into Facebook or that you typed into your cell phone. Think about that for a second. And in many cases, that information was used against you, was collected without your knowledge, accessed by the federal authorities without your knowledge, and then a knock on the door, and all of a sudden you're in the middle of a case you didn't even know existed. That's where we are today. You know, a lot of people say, however, there's a solution to that. You can build your own Facebook. Go ahead. Build your own platform if you don't like it. Well, with me is a gentleman that did just that, as well as Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com and the head of Galileo project called Galileo, which I'm so excited to talk about. Now, with that introduction, I'm going to be turning this entire matter over to, well, not the entire matter, but Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com, gen6.com. And Chris Orr from Galileo Project. So, Steve, come on board and let's talk.
Well, you know, Doug, one of the things with all of the spyware, the continual tracking, whacking, and ultimately stacking, the thing is that people are looking for a more secure communication and one that can't pinpoint you to within a matter of inches. And also they want privacy, but they want three things. They want continual updates, they want privacy, and they want to know that if the cell towers are taken down by, a tactical order, or something's happening, like, let's say, in the Pacific West Coast, or Pacific Northwest and the West Coast, where temperatures, pun intended, are off the charts, and literally some of the wires are melting, people want a form of communication. So I'm going to bring Chris on, who is the head of Galileo, and talk about it. Now, you and I spoke about this a couple months ago with Chris. Obviously, Laura Logan of, Fox notoriety came and interviewed both Chris and I, because after interviewing everybody across the country, we were, I think, Chris, correct me, one of the only people that were providing a solution that was free from the overbearing continual overwatch. And remember this, everything that's done in spyware is ultimately to track you and to ultimately cut you off from communication in the case of a what I would call a initiated state of national emergency. So with no further ado, I'm going to bring Chris on. Hi, Chris. Thank you for coming on again.
Hey, Steve. It's good to be here. Hi, Doug. Thanks for having me on your show today. Absolutely, Steve. You're right. You know, there really is an issue with people being tracked, being followed, and that's top of mind, as you're saying. But what Galileo does is Galileo keeps you connected with vital and life-saving information when you have no other options, when everything else is gone. As you've seen this year in Texas in February, we had people without power, without internet, without cell phone service, and they were in the dark. And the only people who knew what was going on and could reach out to the outside world and receive information from the outside world were people with satellite phones. And we've had a tremendous upsurge since February in demand at the satellite phone store. Sales have really gone up, I think, 100% over last year, because satellite phones provide you that vital lifeline to the outside world when there is no other option. And more we're seeing these black swan events where there are no other options for communication. I mean, if you've ever tried being without your cell phone or the internet for even 24 hours, you'll know what I'm talking about. You are cut off. And I know, Doug, many of your listeners are, and Steve, many of yours are very concerned about prepping. They take it very seriously. They have food supplies. They have generators. They have all these things. But if they're missing a way to communicate, then they're missing the whole ballgame, because that is so vital. You have to know what's going on out there. And in conjunction with the satellite phone, the subscription to Galileo will allow you to automatically receive the information that you need, not just for yourself and your safety and your family, but for your business. So Galileo provides you with weather information. It provides you with financial information of all kinds. It provides you with the news from the people like Steve and like Doug, you know, that you rely on every day. And when you need that information the most from these gentlemen is in an emergency. You need to know what's going on. So Steve, I mean, maybe you could say, you know, what it is you've already started doing and pushing out on Galileo.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, again, we're going to need people to sign up 100. Now, I want to make it clear, and this is, we have to test the platform. This has taken longer than I thought. I wanted it done yesterday. Chris has explained to me what has to happen in the background, because people have tried to launch not a satellite network like this, a global sat news, i.e. Galileo. But I want to remind everybody, first and foremost, this is an emergency form of communication. You can call. If the West Coast goes down and you know someone on the East Coast, you can call them with your satellite phone. And Eric, if you'll just leave that up, just scroll down a little bit. But here's the flow chart. Again, we're dealing with the potential. We've seen cyber attacks that are off the charts. And we've seen, everything from viruses infecting this, infecting that, organized state actors bringing down entire networks. And the problem is that most of you, I would say this, who are listening to Doug, listening to me, listening to Alex, listening to Mike Adams, Dave Hodges, all the alt news guys, you rely on us for, I would guess, what you would be, we're called alternative news, but the truth. And the one thing that is so important about Galileo is it function without any flaws. Because in a worst case scenario that a lot of people are talking about, and especially coming into the early fall, we have to have it absolutely foolproof. So we're going to test it. And now, just so you know, my entire operations manager will be responsible on my end for updating the alert to the subscribers. And the subscribers, and I'll let Chris explain that, but ladies and gentlemen, we have original content providers. As soon as the platform's established, you'll start seeing, information coming from Southeast Asia. It'll say Southeast Asia feed. It'll say Europe feed. It will say, Southeast Asia. It will say, the Pacific Rim feed. That's further, obviously, east. But the point is original content. What's really important is it automatically transmits critical information. And so there's going to be a trial period We have to buy feeds. And Chris, you can address this. If we're getting the Dow, if we're getting cryptocurrency feeds from Coinbase or whoever, if we're getting the gold, silver feeds and platinum, and all the feeds that we're going to provide, that's on a subscription service. But for those of us who are content providers, obviously it enables us on an alert basis to continually feed that. And here's the problem that most people don't understand, and Chris explained this. If we're issuing alerts and we're going to tell everybody, go out and check your satellite phone at noon or whatever time, explain how the text messages come in continually, even if their sat phone isn't on.
Yeah, that's right. The satellite phone network stores the messages until the user turns their phone on, and then they'll be automatically downloaded to their phone. So I'd like to address that point, Steve. You're right. Today here on the Hagman Report, we're announcing the first public test of Galileo, and you can go to Galileo right now at galileo.com. That's GALILEYO.com. And we're allowing the first 100 people who do that and go sign up, and there's no charge for it today. You will be able to take part in the test of Galileo.com so we can see what the issues are, so we can make sure it's working properly. But we know we're going to find bugs and problems, and we're also looking for suggestions from our users to make it better. So we really need your help. As I say, there's no charge for this, and you can go there right now and sign up at Galileo.com. And also, anyone who does sign up and completes the 7-day test and fills out a brief survey at the end so we can get your feedback and get your input, will receive a free month of Galileo subscription once the service launches in August. So we're really excited about that. And yes, Steve, the messages that go out are automatic, like the financial information, the weather information, and then on the content provider side, information coming from yourself and Doug and all the others, it's important for me to say that that is not censored. We don't look at it. We don't parse it. We don't edit it. We don't ban people. It's you put out what you want to put out, and that's what your subscribers will receive on their sat phones.
And if I can interject this, I was watching this being built. Folks, just to reiterate this, okay, and I need to drive this point home, and thank you, gentlemen, for allowing me to do this. Again, today, for the first time ever, we are excited to have this exclusive for you, the first public test of the Galileo platform. Now, we are looking, as Chris said, and as Steve said, we're looking for 100 people to sign up. Not 101, okay? Not 105, but 100. So you're going to have to act quickly. We're looking for 100 people to sign up right now. Go to Galileo.com. The link will be on HagmanReport.com, as it is on SteveQuayle.com. Yeah, but it's GALILEYO. That's Galileo.com. It is not spelled like the traditional Galileo. Okay, and that's important to note. So Galileo.com. And be part of this test. All you need is a sat phone or a cell phone to take part in this test. There's no charge for this test. And in fact, each user who completes the test will get 1 month of free service when Galileo launches next month. And again, to take part in this, go to Galileo, GALILEYO.com. And thank you for allowing me to just to drive that point home. Steve, go ahead.
Well, again, I want people to understand that it becomes paramount, more so than ever, that we have original content providers, and I named some of them. But again, the idea is 24-hour service. Even I can't stay up, or Doug can't stay up, or whoever can't stay up. And Chris, the other day, he was going 48 hours straight. I salute you, sir. I'm done at 36 hours straight. But the point is that we're now seeing power outages. Doug, two of the biggest stories, and Chris, I'm watching this like a hawk. I literally, you know, I'll tell the story later, not on this podcast, but later, probably in the week. But we're watching the warnings coming from Lake Mead and from Lake Powell. They're going to have to shut the power down if they don't get any water. When the power goes down, ladies and gentlemen, find out what those two lakes, those reservoirs, power on the West Coast. And power is one thing, water is another. So it's going to be imperative that people have access to a form of communication. So I'm going to make it easy. No cell, no power, no problem. You will probably have to get used to, at some point, these go down across the country. And we're making, and this is something else, Chris, I've been talking to ham, shortwave operators, and they said, but how do we, if there's no credit cards to be processed during this, I call it the hell period. I said, I'm going to set up a program for selected, okay? This is Steve Quayle, to be able to feed into Galileo and to cover that problem for them. I'm saying this, looking for the guys that have the most coverage and the most confidence. I'm looking for hams. And Chris, this is literally coming in. You and I even haven't had a chance to talk about this. So in essence, we want to secure the capability of specific hams, ham radio operators, you know, fully licensed to be able to operate independently. So the plan is, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have multiple platforms that are able to receive, and again, it's all about the satellite phones. It's all about the satellite phones. We're going to have multiple ways of transmission. And that's why, by the way, you need to know this, everyone. Even the shortwave operators are coming under more and more attack. And one of the things Chris addresses, because you blew my mind, Chris is the technological guy. I'm the concept guy. But, you know, talk about how we're making sure that Galileo doesn't go down. Because everybody says, well, the power goes down, blah, 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 blah. Talk about, and you know, it's 0.6. That's the biggest story and the coolest thing. And again, brother, you're going to get double salutes. That's really interesting. So talk about that, if you would, you know, using multiple private cloud providers.
Yeah, you know, it's obviously with the cyber terrorism going on today, I mean, these guys are taking out data centers, taking out cell phone towers, and they're taking out private companies, all kinds of things. So we don't just rely on a couple of data centers. We have up to 50 data centers around the world at the moment that we're utilizing to store the information and to keep the service and the platform running. And those are on multiple continents, and we have, I don't want to get into it too much, you know, for security reasons, but we do have servers in front of the server farms and the data farms, and there is just a tremendous amount of redundancy, and we're also utilizing the IPFS network and the Filecoin blockchain to secure the information and to keep it flowing. So we've really done everything we could. We spent months building out this platform so that, like, at the end of the day, if the entire planet's gone, we'll be gone too, right? But short of that, we'll find a way to get to keep the platform running and to get our information out there, because, you know, you just got to be ready for anything these days, you know, whether it's the weather events, the tornadoes, the hurricanes, the snow, the terrorism. You know, we can't predict what's going to happen, so we just are trying to cover all the bases that we can possibly think of.
And Chris and Steve and ladies and gentlemen, I was talking to Eric the tech today, and he understands this more than I do, and the bottom line is this, in my view. Okay, you and I, all of us, we need to stay one step ahead of these globalist bastards that are out there shutting us down. We need this, and this is, you know, you want freedom. You want freedom of speech. You want freedom. This is your lifeline. This is, I'm telling you, this is it, folks. This is the answer. And I am excited, just real quick, I'm excited to tell you that what's coming with this. Oh, folks, oh, my goodness. Chris is a genius. Steve is a genius. And Eric the Tech's a genius, too. But I got to tell you, I'll tell you what. This is going to be your answer. This is going to be your answer. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, again, redundancy. And here's the thing. If you guys have any, and seriously, if you've ever seen any end of the world movies, somebody finds invariably a shortwave transmitter, a broken down military transmitter, and begins to send out. Is anybody listening? There will be people all over the world. And again, Doug, I don't know how many people from different countries. I was talking to Chris about this early this morning. But we're talking global. I want people to understand this. We're not talking about, let's say they just shut all the alt news people down. There are people around the world, and for security reasons, I'm not going to tell who they are, but they will be posting, having the ability. This is a Galileo thing. Just like the shortwave people that are going to be, how do I say this? Anybody who, you know, is a shortwave operator, ham operator, you've had, you know, enough experience to say minimum 15, 20 years, you have a big reach, you know how to use repeaters, at least until they get rid of those. But the bottom line is, we have looked at this every way. And I apologize for my impatience, everyone, because Chris said, Steve, I hear you, we're working on it. But it takes a massive amount of software. I thought, you know, basically you got a bunch of guys just on keyboards and it's done in a day. Well, I'm ignorant. But the point is that, Chris, I just explain, because people are asking, well, why has this taken so long? You know, would you just talk about the IPFS and Filecoin blockchain too? Because I think it's important. When Lara Logan was here, I mean, that was something she was unaware of. So, you know, feel free to describe that. Because, again, it shows people, this is no shot in the dark, ladies and gentlemen, pun intended, against those that are trying to, you know, annihilate the human race. But the point is, this is a massive undertaking, and I didn't realize, I'm the concept guy, I didn't realize what it takes to implement that. So just address that and then take it from wherever you want to go.
Okay, well, yeah, these new technologies like IPFS, which stands for, believe it or not, Interplanetary File System, are designed to decentralize storage and decentralize files and distribute them around the world in little pieces so that they can be put back together when they're called upon. But they can't be lost, they can't be removed, and they can be accessed at all times. It's really about, the power is in the many, not the few. If you have a central server farm or a central data center, then if something happens to that data center, then you're done, right? So same with if one file's in one data center and that's the only place it is, then it's gone if something happens there. So the IPFS network essentially makes sure that these files are distributed around the world and on multiple nodes so they can be accessed not only faster but more securely, because the files are chopped up and sent out into little pieces all over the place, and only each file knows where the rest of that file is. So it's impossible for people to hack it and get rid of it. It's just so, so difficult. So it's really what you don't see on Galileo is all of that. We're just doing that because that's the only way to make sure that this platform keeps running and that your files are safe. The Filecoin blockchain allows you to register files on there that are then duplicated again across the world at other data centers, and they guarantee those files will never be removed and will always be stored and available. So, I mean, if you think about it, what I know we're working on Galileo, and we're talking about the Galileo launch today and the test. But down the road with Archimedes, that's an operating system that's based entirely on IPFS and the Filecoin blockchain. And with that pipeline assault you had recently with the cyber terrorism attack, the ransomware attack on the pipeline, apparently they paid that millions of dollars that day that they were held hostage, their data was held hostage. It still took, a week to 10 days to get back online. If they'd have had the Archimedes system, they'd have been able to get back online immediately. because it is just not possible to get rid of the files and to block people from their own files with Archimedes. And Archimedes is really just a gateway onto this new decentralized universe. So there's a lot of good things to come, but we're incorporating a lot of them into Galileo. And we've got some tremendous developers, you know, both here and in Eastern Europe who are just doing an amazing job with that. And believe you me, this is, I'll take credit where it's due to me, but there's an awful lot of people involved in this who know a lot more than I do, and they're very, very smart, and they're focused on cryptography and decentralization and really taking advantage of the new technology that's out there that may just save us all.
There's a lot of hackers, too, that are brilliant guys. There's a lot of people out there that have spent their life developing their computer skills, platform, software, but they now realize that their very existence is being, what would you say, nominalized, or, I mean, the good ones can still say hidden, but using that whole intelligence base of all these people that are out there, that it's astonishing. And Archimedes was the most famous Greek mathematician in the history of, modern science. He's a very bright guy. And I think that what's important is that this is, and Chris, you're saying this, this is one of the biggest communication undertaking in the world. You know, somebody said, man, you go for the whole thing. I said, I'm not going for the elephant. You know, I love elephants, and I won't even use it, you know, eat an elephant. Let's just say this. How do you get rid of a politician and a piranha? You've got to take out the whole school. And so the point is that this is something that I'm trying to say this, Chris, because again, when you and I and Tina met 10 years ago, you know, I had the passion to be able to get this thing out to the world. Global Sat News was, I think, the title you and I and Tina arrived at. We had a wonderful power lunch that went on for hours. And by the way, I still actually remember, you know, I can't remember my name or the date, but I can remember, you know, stuff that was on the plate. Not because we ate a lot, but it was a very nice feast. Thank you very much. But the point is that I'm trying to, in my limited way, say this is so, just as blockchain and crypto is unique to the very last years that, you know, since the introduction of Bitcoin, this is such a revolutionary thing. And of course, the governments don't like anything they can't control, don't like anything they don't know. But ladies and gentlemen, it's the only way to get clear of the, and I'm sorry, but this is my statement. I stand by it. We're continually tracked. Obviously, anybody who's considered an enemy of the state, and by the way, that statement was just made last week politically, Doug, and they just disenfranchised half of America with that statement. All red states are considered, you know, disenfranchised. But ladies and gentlemen, doesn't matter which way the pendulum swings, it's we all want the most powerful seven-letter word in existence. That's freedom. That's freedom. Because again, you're watching everything that you had the right to, freedom of speech. And we're hitting that when, you know, Doug, you and I spoke about this. Chris, you and I spoke about it. When they take away our freedom of speech, then we go full scale totalitarian. And I believe that we're there, you know, within a breath. So ladies and gentlemen, this is the thing that I think we actually maybe didn't cover enough is the, how to say this, that Doug, step in here, the magnitude of everything that's going on in the world of spying. Now, ladies and gentlemen, China's social credit score, whether you and I and anybody wants to admit it, we're all under AI surveillance. You go on a retail site and you're looking at, let's say this, bicycles. And pretty soon, all the bicycle manufacturers, you're getting, you know, ads for bicycles. Go on Amazon. Go on eBay even. You know, I still get from 2 years ago, DVD replicators. But the bottom line is that we're not seeing the big picture. And Chris, again, kudos. The big picture of Galileo, it just, I hope people understand. Consider the start of even when some of the social media platforms address that, because in essence, Chris, you and Galileo are going to be building if you will, a satellite network system that, quite candidly, when people get furious, they're going to start looking for alternatives. And to my knowledge, this is the most sophisticated, forward-thinking platform yet announced.
Yes.
Is that
accurate? And Chris, before you jump in here, Steve, you've got some time constraints, I believe. Do you have to jump at the bottom here?
No, in the next hour.
Oh, I...
Second hour.
Okay.
Wait a minute. We're only on for 1 hour with Chris, right? And then you've got somebody else coming on second hour?
That's correct. I'm sorry. Okay. Yes.
Chris, my apologies. You know, like I said, all is a day behind, but a future. And by the way, people may want to know this, but Chris and the principals in Galileo, we've already basically, how should I say this, registered our, pun intended, Martian communication trademarks. Because again, Elon may be the first to, to Mars with the Tesla. A lot of good is going to do him there with the electricity problem. But the bottom line is that we're that forward thinking. And fortunately, I was able to name it because of all my work on Mars. I'm not saying I've been there, but I've accused of being out there. So, Chris, again, what people have got to understand, and because you're a computer guy, you've built social platforms in the past. How, if you were to say, in relationship to everything else, Chris, how far ahead is this?
Well, look, I mean, it really is where we have to go. It is the future, because if you think about it, today's internet was created in the 60s, the early 70s, and everything else has been, ever since then, has been built on top of that. So it's like, of course, the internet now is so prone to hacks, to disruption, to ransomware, to cyber terrorism, because it's old technology. It's IP-based old technology. There's plenty of people who've invested billions into this new universe of decentralization. You see it on Shark Tank. You see Paul Allen talking about it. You see all kinds of people talking about this, and they're not just talking. They're putting money in. They're building this system. And really, we just want to provide a way for everyone to be able to use it, because it does enable constant communication. It's platform agnostic, which means it can connect via internet, it can connect via 900 megahertz, it can connect via any type of peer-to-peer community. It doesn't need today's standard internet. It can exist as and where it's needed. And that's controlled by the user, not by anyone else, not by big tech. But it really, what it does, essentially, this new universe, is it gives you back control of you and your data and your life, and you get to decide what happens to your data. Today, big tech just like monitors everything you do, and they sell that data, and they sell you down the river, and they keep the money, and they don't share it. It's a betrayal, if you ask me. Decentralization, IPFS, and the Filecoin blockchain, all together give you back, control over your digital life, in every single way possible. And it really does give you freedom for the first time. So we're just really, excited about that. We're not the creators of that technology, but we certainly think that everyone can take advantage of it. And look, I mean, it's like everyone needs communications when, trouble, the proverbial hits the fan, right? I mean, look, the satellite phone store, they have customers in government, in big corporations who, the cell companies, like, rely on satellite communications when those hurricanes hit and their towers are down. Where do those guys go? They go to satellite communications. They go to a channel that's always up and always reliable. And so that's where we started. And we've provided satellite phones at the satellite phone store for 20 years. And we've seen the need. And we've also seen, a gap in the information that people are not getting automatically on their sat phones. So that's why we came up with Galileo. And it can help emergency services, first responders. It can help our troops stay safer. This technology is good for everybody, but it's good for us too. It puts us on a level playing field, and it enables you to make sure that you have a guaranteed flow of information from Doug, from Steve, from these other gentlemen, you know, so that you know what's going on when you're in the dark. I mean, if the power goes out, if these dams shut down and the power goes out, there's going to be a lot of people without internet and a lot of people without cell phone service, and that could happen any day, you know, any minute. And, you know, the droughts are getting worse, the weather's getting worse, you know, the regulations are getting worse. I mean, if you want to be prepared, you should, you know, it's essential to have a satellite phone in your basket of, you know, in your go bag. And it's essential to also be able to understand what situation you're in so that you can do something about it, so you can take charge and not feel helpless, because we all feel helpless when we're in the dark, you know, and we just want to make sure that no one is in the dark, whether it's first responders, whether it's private citizens, whether it's companies who are trying to keep operating. You know, we need to be able to have a better system than we have today, and we need to have that reliability and redundancy, because without it, we're all in a lot of trouble.
I want everybody to understand a basic premise too. Do not call the satellite phone store and talk about Galileo. Galileo, this is just my thermostat, obviously my sat phone, they're two separate companies. The people at the sat phone store cannot answer issues of Galileo. And Chris, again, I think people need to understand, we've got to make it perfectly clear what's free and what is by subscription. Because primarily, I want to direct this, because one lady was saying, well, I didn't know that. If you don't understand this principle, please do not buy a satellite phone. But if you understand what we're talking about, in other words, somebody said, well, what are they good for? This, the satellite phone is good when there's no cell and there's no, you know, cell towers, there's no power. And I just told you, and again, I'll be addressing that in full. You're talking about the two largest reservoirs with power generating dams and drinking waters being absolutely shut down because they cannot keep up with the low water level. It burns the turbines out. So imagine, ladies and gentlemen, the entire city of Los Angeles, outside of the backup battery on cell phone towers, imagine that going down. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but there are people addressing it right now. And Chris, will you please address that? Because I don't think it was clear enough. In other words, Doug and I can use our networks to basically send out alerts. Mike Adams can, Dave Hodges can, but explain the subscription service really plainly, because people don't recognize when they bought their phones, the first and foremost reason they bought them was for emergency communication. And people bought multiple phones so a father can stay in touch with his daughter, a son can stay in touch with his family. But explain, please, because again, we can have no miscommunication. Spell it out clearly.
Yeah, look, I mean, at Galileo.com, we don't sell sat phones. You know, we have a company that we work with, that's Satellite Phone Store, and they do. They're even providing free satellite phones with service right now. So for under $100 a month, you can get a sat phone and you can get your service. But that is them. They're a great company. I used to work there myself, so I know how good they are. But they are not related to Galileo. At Galileo, we provide the information to the sat phones. And for under $20 a month, you get a constant guaranteed lifeline of vital and life-saving and critical information. And you also get all of the information, the content from people like Steve and from Doug and from the providers that you trust to bring you the news. For less than $20 a month, it's probably going to be less than $15 a month. You know, but we have our costs too. We've got to be able to stay in business, and, you know, we might even make a little profit one day. But there is a cost for us, And we do need to pass that on, but we believe that for less than the cost of a cup of coffee at Starbucks a day, you can get the information that might just save your life. You know, if you think about it as insurance, then that's fine. It doesn't matter, you know, how you look at it, but you know how vital that information is to you. And you will either understand or not that it's worth, you know, it's worth the money. You know, it's your right to sign up or not. But if you get a satellite phone, that's great. That's what you need to really get the Galileo subscription to get the most out of it. You can receive Galileo information on your cell phone, and certainly, you know, you can receive the content from your favorite content providers on your cell phone through Galileo, but when that cell phone stops working, what are you going to do? And if you want to make sure you're never in the dark, then a Galileo subscription, say for under $20 a month, and we launch in August. We're not live yet, but we are launching the test today, which is totally free. And we are looking for 100 users to go to Galileo.com right now and sign up. Once we hit 100, we're shutting it off. That's all we need for the test. But we really need and would appreciate your help, guys, so we can make sure that when we do go live, this platform, you know, is really the best it can be and the most solid and the easiest to use. You know, we've done our best right so far, but we do not know everything, and we want to hear from you. So please sign up for the test today, and as a reward, you complete that test and a short survey at the end, we will very happily give you a free month of service on Galileo.com when it does launch.
Go ahead, Doug, because again, Eric, your tech is going to be responsible for, and when I say that, Eric, thank you for helping. And again, Daryl, my guy, who is not a Neanderthal as I am, the world of computers, the point being is that we have alternate. I want to make this clear too, on my end, Daryl will be taking alerts in real time. In other words, he's devoting his time. And then the three, and I just call them this, global information sources will be providing stuff in real time. Let's say something happens in the gold market, and Chris is a metals trader too. Let's say LBI, London Bullion's Metal Exchange, comes up with something that's going to cause the metals to explode. Or let's say one of the United Arab Emirates just takes, you know, $20 billion in gold. Well, there comes a time when you're going to need to know that. And people say, well, what happens if they reissue the U.S. dollar? The most important, or do away with U.S. dollar, which is in already they're talking about their secret meetings in the Fed, there's secret meetings at the White House. How can I tell people that? Because people who are aware of those meetings are telling me that. But what you're going to need to know, and we'll just address this, because right now President Putin and about 130 nations are already setting up, if you will, a barter medium value exchange rate. In other words, President Putin says, I'm not going to take American dollars anymore, and he doesn't. He's disconnected from U.S. Internet, too, and they've segregated the Russians. And the same thing with these countries. And so what's important is people will have access to what's a gallon of gas cost, really. Where can you get gas? What's my gold worth? What's my silver worth? And this is and Chris, I forget what I thought was a good name for it, but the point is, giving people an understanding, whatever their commodities worth, what's a loaf of bread worth, what's a pint or a quart of olive oil worth. These things are going to be a necessity. So I'm already working, okay, on that commodities-based value exchange rate. Well, how do we get my money from Europe? You shouldn't have it there in the first place if you live in the U.S. If those of you who are heavy hitters, go to my website and contact Egon von Geyers at Gold Matterhorn. You know, it's the safest place in the world. You know, it's literally inside of a military bunker in a mountain. But the point is that for those of you who are staying in the States, and by the way, most people are going to end up staying in the States because if you don't have a COVID passport, you don't have your, and they're not telling you this, but you'll be checked lock, stock, and barrel, even to your credit card charges, even to your lifestyle, all your Facebook postings, all your Twitter, Twatter, blood will splatter. That's what how I remember that. All of, you know, LinkedIn, linked out, blowing up, blowing out. You know, all of that's going to be monitored in real time, and there will be a secret security code attached to every person who has a cell phone, who has a credit card. And Chris, that's what Galileo is going to provide people with, is a, if you will, a commodity index of the global acknowledged rate of gold, of silver, of platinum, of palladium, and Bitcoin. You know, you probably like to know if you're holding Bitcoin, and you know that, you know, I mean, if it goes to the numbers that guys like Cliff High and others are talking about, you want to know that. But you want to know it in a more secure manner. And again, geolocation. If you turn the GPS on your phone off, you've got a 50-mile radius. That's tougher to hit you with a surface-to-air missile. And by the way, that's called yard farming. And by the way, drone swarms will be used in that capacity. But 50 miles is a lot different than 5 inches. So again, we need 100 people to sign up for the test. Understanding, ladies and gentlemen, this isn't excluding anybody, but you want to know when you're paying for whatever service you're paying and your satellite phone is, you know, the tool to keep you, I'm going to say this, informed like none other can. The bottom line is that as soon as we, if there's any bugs, those are ironed out, then registration is opened up. And Chris, what's the date again when we, you think we'll be up for general registration? That means everybody beyond the initial test.
It really just depends how this test goes. If it goes well, we'll be looking at August 1. If we've got a little more work to do, it'll be August 7, August 15. But it's going to be no later than August 15. And certainly we'll keep yours and Doug's viewers up to speed on that for sure. And so you guys will be in the loop and be able to let everybody know. We want to get it out there as soon as possible, but we want to make sure it is rock solid when we do. You know, because it's just too important to get this up early if it's not everything it needs to be. And it, look, there's going to be a long way to go even when we launch. But, and by the way, I think you referred to it as barter commerce was what you said earlier. Yeah. And so, look, Galileo, we're not here to tell people what to say, you know, what not to say. We don't get involved in that. This platform is open to our content providers to create whatever lists and information that they want to. We just put it out for them direct to you. And so I'm excited to see those barter commerce lists start to come up, Steve, because I think you'll be the first person to do that. And it's going to become essential as the value of cash, you know, like just goes away. I mean, real estate's going crazy because I think, according to Tina, I think she's right. You know, the value of the dollar is really just going down. You know, so yeah, the house prices here in Denver are doubling every 4 years or every 3 years. Because the cash just isn't worth as much anymore. And then we see, you were talking about the cryptocurrencies, you know, Galileo kicks out twice a day all of the cryptocurrency prices that you want, but morning and evening, because as you know, it's, these markets are open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But from the morning alert on Bitcoin or Dogecoin or whatever it is you want to follow, if there is a 2% move right now, up or down from that first alert, you'll get another alert. So you're going to stay up to date with big moves and market moves, making moves throughout the day automatically, whether it's cryptocurrency prices, stocks, you can follow any stock, any bonds, you can follow all kinds of things and throughout the day, not just open and close, you know, so you can get the actual prices. And then from people like Steve and Doug and others, you'll be able to get the news that's going to, you know, move those prices as well. And all of this, no matter what is going on the ground, without power, without, you know, cell phones, without internet, you are going to be informed. And not only can that save your money and your business, but it can save your life. And Steve, you know all about that.
Well, and I think too, Chris, if you would address, because I talked to Tina at the satellite phone store, and here's something, people are catching on to this. People are catching on in a big way. And when the satellite manufacturers of the phones make them, if it's my understanding, Chris, again, you know this, but they make them in January, they run the production, then they don't start again until January. So, you know, the thing that's important, when there is a national emergency, you guys can send out literally hundreds of phones literally overnight in that. So what happens when the phones are, you know, no longer available? That's not a scare tactic. This is July. And you know, even the manufacturers are taking note of, the satellite phone store and saying, we don't go back into production until January. Well, I got to know. That's the great unknown in my world. Someone says, what's long term? In my world, long term is 30 days. I'm sorry, but that's how the compression of time is, you know? And again, I've said we've gone from, you know, the lateness of the hour to the madness of the moment. And again, any fear, any initiatory bad news, any, well, like right now, two of the nation, I think the French, one of the French consulates is burning, and one of the Italian consulates is burning. People are getting really, in your homeland, Britain, they're getting pretty fed up with a mandatory destruction of their lives, their livelihoods, and even their access to food. And, you know, this is critical. So, again, it's one of the things I want people to understand is this. If you don't think that they, the global devilists, the ones that want to shut down even your access to food, they're already talking about exercises to going in and securing farm communities so the city folks won't even have a, if you will, a black market underground availability of those assets. That's why I don't apologize for the statement. People need to get out of the cities while they can, because there comes a time, and that's actually, Chris, I don't even watch that. That's an actual program that's going to be instituted by Doug as the Department of Homeland Security.
Yes.
Yep. And you want to chime into that, because you follow this stuff even closer than I do because of, you know, all the different people that you know. But explain that. They're talking about the rural shutdown of farms and ranchers and all food supply. Are they not?
Yes, they are. And this, so there's a huge dynamic here that's being interplayed, or events are interplaying with one another. You've got the Pacific Northwest. You've got this union thing going on, the strike with the food grocers up there. Okay, so they're, truckers are not crossing picket lines, for example, of Kroger's, who are on strike because of working conditions. So there's a food shortage because of the transportation. Okay, now what does that have to do with what you just said? All of these events, like that's in the Pacific Northwest, but that's going to ripple into the rest of the country. And then concurrent with that, you've got the takeover of farmland, not just telling what people, what farmers to, you know, not to grow or to grow, but the control of agriculture, the control of beef. And this has been planned out for some time because they want to push us to a specific plant-based diet. So anyway, having said all of that, you need to stay ahead of all of this because, for example, what do I need to stock up on? Certainly not toilet paper at this point, but you may want to stock up on chicken. Why? Well, you know, that's where your satellite phone and Galileo comes in my view. So you're not just, you know, you're not at the store buying chicken, and I'm using that as an example, when everyone else is. You're there a week ahead of time. So that's the beauty of this. I hope I connected some dots and made some sense. But yes, I'm hearing this, and we're looking at this playing out in real time. And frankly, Steve and Chris, this is breathtaking for me. I never thought I would see this in my lifetime. But yeah, because you were talking about it, and I got to tell you, Chris is just brilliant with this. He's ahead of this, folks, the 100 people. It's not, again, not 101, so 100 people. Okay, sign up for this test, and you will be ahead of the game already. Plus, that gives you a free month, one free month's free service when Galileo launches. But go ahead, folks, take it. Steve?
Chris, I'll let you, let me just introduce this thought. The importance of access to information, I think with all of us who have been, I use my word, addicted to the hell phone. When you use a satellite phone and you realize that you're getting data, and by the way, the data doesn't stop. It's not dependent on my guy, Daryl, or Eric the Tech, or Alex's guys, whoever his ITP, Mike Adams, and all of us. And we pretty much go on each other's shows, but there are people overseas. Even at night, you know, Chris, I know you know this statement, Doug, too. I mean, you're asleep at your keyboard, not asleep at the switch, and you wake up, send me an email thinking I'll answer in the morning, and I flash it back. It's impossible for anyone to stay on top of events, especially with the censorship. Here's the word I want everybody to understand. The big press, the media is owned by the globalists that are trying to basically slit our information access throats. And oh, by the way, on the farming, China's buying up massive amounts of farmland. These are the same people that brought social credit scores to their nation. And by the way, Doug, when all of the big tech, and I call them the big tech traders, went over China, they were perfecting the social credit score platforms in China, which would have been illegal in the United States, and then surreptitiously inserting them into, and through all the intelligence agencies, into the everyday American consumer, anybody who's a citizen, still alive. The bottom line is they're trying to know. This is their attempt of trying to be everywhere, all knowing and all powerful. And I like to think that, you know, the and I believe it's true, is that on a global network basis, let's just say this. Let's say that every single magazine that has an internet presence, every single newspaper, or, you know, what will soon be toilet paper. I promise you, when I first went to Europe in the early 60s, it wasn't toilet paper. It was newspaper squares. You could pick the headline that you wanted to make a statement on in those days. There were even people that made rolls of newspaper squares. But the point is that we're now, when it boils down to everything, we want to be informed, and I'm on record, and I know you are too, Chris. We all go to the internet because it used to be you could settle for a newspaper. Then the newsletters came out. Doug and I had one. But when information happened so quickly, then it was, how can I go to a weekly newsletter? And then it became every day. And I know this. I'm there. When I get off this, I'll check the latest headlines. I'll go to my favorite sources. I'll make contact with whoever I can because they live in different parts of the world. And ladies and gentlemen, we do that for you. I would not want my sleep pattern, Doug's sleep pattern, or, you know, 48 hours. Forget it, you know, 48 hours. You cannot live at that rate. But this is what everybody is doing to try and give the very last bastion of communication freedom out there. And I want to make it clear, we're paying these people. These people can, I mean, they're going to be paid. And that's where the revenue from Galileo comes in. And by the way, it'll take a long time to cover the money that the backers of Galileo have put into it and are putting into it. And as it grows, obviously, you know, they're prepared to do, because they've already done stuff. The principles of Galileo already brought big time money to the table. So, Chris, I'll let you finish off the last 4 minutes. Say what you need. Say what you want. And I want to say, you know, have a great day, everybody, because, again, this is, in my opinion, the last ability for us to communicate the truth before the whole world goes, manure crazy. Go ahead.
Well, look, Stephen, thank you, and thanks again, Doug, for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. And, you know, your users today can help us make Galileo, you know, is what it really can be and fulfill its potential, which can serve all of us, you know. I think it's so important to understand that freedom of speech is like we took it for granted in this country for so long, but, you know, many of us don't come from, I wasn't born in this country, and I come from places where, you know, socialism and tyranny, you know, rule, and it's, you know, it's just no fun to live like that. And it's a very different world when you don't have freedom of speech. You know, it really is. But this is the only place in the world where it's protected, and we all have to do our best to protect it. And if we don't fight for it, it won't be here anymore. It'll just be gone. And there's a lot of people who have a financial interest in shutting down voices, and that's just not the American way. If you don't like what someone has to say, don't listen to it. That's the American way. But everyone has a right to speak, and we just want to play our part in helping keep freedom of speech alive. And that begins today with the test. If you go to Galileo.com, you can sign up. The first 100 people to do that right now will be included in our test, and we really appreciate that. And we understand that there's going to be problems. That's why we're doing the test. You know, and it's not what you see when once you register and go into Galileo. You're going to see a lot of stuff in there. But it's not everything it's going to be, so please understand that. We will have feeds from Doug and Steve and guys. And by the way, as we're talking right now, I'm getting feeds from you. I'm learning stuff that I don't even want to get into because I don't have time, but it's already informing me and the other guys here in the office. So we appreciate it. But look, if we don't have a way to communicate, we're all going to be in the dark. And then you know what's going to happen. If we're permanently in the dark, we're all in a lot of trouble. And so I think that this is something that can really help us keep freedom of speech alive, keep your voices out there, let people make their own decisions based on actual, real, true information, you know, uncensored, unedited information, because whatever people decide to do, that's up to them. But I think everyone's entitled to hear all the points of view. That's how the best decisions get made at the end of the day, when you hear all the sides and all the points of view. And that's so important right now, and it's not happening. It's been taken away from us. So thank you so much, guys. Thank you, Doug. I really appreciate you having me on the show. Thanks, Steve. Always good to see you.
And
I look forward to you soon. I got to run. I got to go make sure this test gets off the ground well. I think there's going to be a lot going on today.
Thank you very much. Doug, thank you for, again, your contribution. And I want to make this clear to all of Hagman's viewers. You guys are on the cutting edge. You're not going to hear this when somebody says, oh, there's a big IPO. You know, you're on the cutting edge. And again, Doug, because of this production thing, it blew my mind. So ladies and gentlemen, last time, do not call the satellite phone store and ask about Galileo. Please quit doing that. Call the satellite phone store and get your satellite phone, because everything we're doing is to circumvent the control of the of shutting down selective cell phones and shutting down through whatever means or reason the entire cellular network. So that's what we're up to. Chris, again, hey, Doug, got to go. Thank you.
All right. Chris, thank you very much. Wow. I'll tell you what, folks, how great is that? Uncensored, unmonitored text and voice by way of satellite phone store, and then, of course, Galileo, your connection to information that's critical for your survival and for, well, you could be the smartest person in the room and the safest person in the room. With that, folks, you're listening to the Hagman Report right here on the Global Star Network. Going to be right back, sir, right where you're at. And welcome to hour number two. This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. We're not going to be silenced. In case you missed hour one, just very quickly, today, folks, today for the first time, and you heard it first right here on this platform, we're excited to tell you that we've got an exclusive for you, the first public test of the Galileo platform. We're looking for 100 people, not 101, it's cut off at 100, to sign up right now at Galileo.com. That's Galileo. The link will be at HagmanReport.com. Sign up there and be a part of this test. All you need is a sat phone or a cell phone to take part. There is no charge for this test. And in fact, each user who completes the test will get 1 month of free service when Galileo launches. To take part in this test, go to Galileo.com. That is Galileo. Galileo.com. All right. With me right now is Stan Dale from StanDale.com. And of course, StanDale.com, news headlines by Holly Dale, the hardest working lady. I'm telling you, between the two of them, they work harder than any two people I know. A lot of people that we talk to on this broadcast work extremely hard. So anyway, with that, Stan Dale from StanDale.com. Stan, thank you so much for joining me and your patience on this Tuesday evening.
Patience, not one of our strong suits here, is it?
Not at all.
give me the answer. I want to know about everything.
That's right.
Ah, boy, there's so much to talk about today. The first thing I want to talk about is rather good and bad news. I've mentioned this before, but I was sent a video by a guy promoting his book, you know, a Christian, like a professor. And in slide 55 on our show images page, it's the first slide, the top left, you'll see a picture of the pointy obelisk in Washington.
Mm.
This video is about 30 minutes long. I re-recorded it and put it onto my website because when you go to the website, normally to click on this, his website, you can't back it up and repeat things that he said or shown in the video. And then toward the end, there's promotion for various things that you might want to skip, but it gives you control over this. Now, in this video, explains why America is the mystery Babylon in Revelation. Rick Coombs did this a few years back, and I was privileged to get copies of it from him. And I don't see it here in my slide, but I'm going to put it up later today, or probably about midnight tonight. But I'm going to put it up so that you can download his a zip file of his point-by-point description of America being Babylon. Now, it's not happy times. What this guy talks about makes America go down in a hurry, destroyed by fire, by invading forces, EMP attacks all over the country, local and global type things, power systems going down. And when you read this, or view it rather, understand that I don't think that Christians or believers are going to be here for that. Now, the reason is this. In the Revelation, and in other places in the Old Testament as well, Jesus says to his elect, to his people, you know, the saved, he says, come out of Babylon, mystery Babylon. Now, I also mentioned that when he was talking about, you know, about the form of God back in the Old Testament about Babylon, the ancient Babylon, but the mystery Babylon is Babylon reborn. And you'll notice that he says, come out of her, my people. So people have been thinking, well, if America's Babylon, we better get out of here, but where do we go? And the neat thing about it is that you don't have to get out of here the way you think. He didn't say leave Babylon. He didn't say get out of Dodge or go to this place or that place. He said come out of Babylon. He is saying, like he is the recipient of it, come out of Babylon. Now he's calling people out, his people out, I think, in the rapture. This is an incredible thing, but I do think that's what it means. It's not directing you to go anywhere else, but if you're in Mystery Babylon and you're a believer, look up and wait for him to redeem you, to catch you up in the rapture. When that occurs, you know, we're not even going to debate here, but it reverses the fear of not being able to get out of America or Babylon, the Mystery Babylon, before the judgments and before committing the sins that Babylon, modern America, does. It is just such an interesting video. I think you're probably looking at it in the background, are you?
Yes. So, sorry about that.
Yeah. Keep looking. That's all right. It's encouraging to know that not only Rick Coombs, but this professor also agree biblically that America is Mystery Babylon and that the United Kingdom is part of that system somehow in the shipping and commerce and whatever. Don't be frightened, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Read this or view this. You'll see some pretty horrific things on here and some bold statements, but they are backed up by scripture. And I'm not selling his book that he, or two books I think he promotes at the end of this, but I left it there because it is his video. And I wanted to share it with you, only adding the ability for you to scroll back and forth and pause and repeat so that you might see something twice or hear something twice. It's a good reason. Yeah. Say again, Doug.
No, you know, regardless of what you said, you know, we're not given to a spirit of fear. We're not supposed to live in the spirit of fear. So
No. But it just underscores the thing that you don't need to be frightened of being in Babylon, because if you're a believer, you're not going to be here for all the judgments and all the sins. It's going to produce a lot more sins now, you know, America, because we've been taken over by the communists, socialists, leftists, whatever you want to call them, but they're the bad guys. And so I assume that this means that fairly soon, before we can be partakers of the sins that America creates worldwide. Whoops. Sorry about that, guys.
Yeah,
we forgot to do it here. I'll get to...
You want to take that? I mean, it's okay.
No.
Put on speaker, though. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I forgot to hide the phones under the rugs and stuff, but shortly Holly will do that for us when she comes down. So it just means to me that the collapse of the United States means that the tribulation is very close. And I am sad that the greatest nation in the history of the world has been corrupted now, and it's going to fall, going to be destroyed, but it will be. Now, other things in the news today, let's look at, say, slide 57 in our show images page. This is talking about two small dams in China that have broken down and, you know, let the water flow through them from what they were containing. Now, is one of these or both of them what that Maori woman told me about back in New Zealand, about when you see this dam collapse in China, know that the eruption of Lake Taupo follows soon after? I couldn't see anything in the article yet because it just happened. But there's going to be a scandal involving log, stacked log, et cetera, and substandard wood that was used in the dam, and it causes it to break. So they haven't done an investigation of why the dam broke, because the story is just breaking now. You can click on that slide 57 in the top part and see the Twitter type article on it. And you could click down underneath the white text. It says, remember the Maori prophecy about Lake Taupo, and click on that, and it'll take you to that prophecy on our website that we keep up there all the time. This is a symbol. You know, this dam collapse is going to be a symbol to notify when the great Lake Taupo eruption is going to occur and blow away the North Island of New Zealand. That may not be for a year or two or three, or maybe this year, I don't know, but this is one of the clues that the Maori Kahuna woman told us. So have a look at that. Slide 56. I'm sure that by now everyone has looked at the Jeff Bezos rocket launch, and you know, off it went into the wild blue yonder, about 65 miles high. And you can read the article there about it. I think another place down here I have pictures of the team. Yeah, I'll get to that in just a second. But when you watch the videos of the flight, you'll see that they went to about Mach 3, three times the speed of sound, went up to an altitude of about 65 miles, which is higher than, you know, the previous launch by a billionaire. And it signals the start of commercial flights, you know, joy flights to orbit. Now, the thing that kind of got my attention was Jeff Bezos, that's Amazon, right? And they sell all kinds of stuff, and you know, you pay shipping and handling. Suppose they were sending out, you know, an invitation to fly up into the upper atmosphere into space on one of the Bezos rocket excursions. Well, the excursion might only cost you $200, but the shipping and handling on it might cost you $200,000. So be careful when you sign up for it.
I like that. That was good. Because I was about to say, who gives a who gives a damn, speaking about your other story, about what Jeff Bezos does? But can we keep him up there? That's the second question. I like that.
Yeah, I thought we'd have a bit of fun with that, because so much of this stuff is bad news.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. Slide 52. It's North Carolina's Human Rights Commission is protesting the alleged like poll that's going door to door there or in one of the counties to get people to get the COVID-19 vaccine. I mean, we've had a call here already, Holly and I, from somebody saying, you know, we'd like to offer you the vaccine. We know you haven't got it yet. I'm thinking, how did they know we haven't got it yet? What are they spying on? And then I look here at this article here, and they're going to do a door-to-door knock and really invading the people's privacy to see if they got the shot or not. I just think this is getting very, very Orwellian. You know, it's 1984 in 2021.
You know, Stan, if this was so so dangerous to our health and our mortality, then why do they need door knockers to convince us? Why do they need advertising to convince us? Why do they need all these incentives to convince us to take this experimental modifying genetic modifying jab? I want to know why? Because I remember the swine flu. Remember that when they were big on that, and then they cut it off after four adverse reactions? Well, you'll check the VAERS database right now. 1 in 100 are being reported, and I think there's already 12,000 or 11,991 deaths on that just from the experimental jab. But then I'm on my soapbox. I'm going to shut up now. But come on to my door. You know, I'll greet you. I ain't leaving the light on. Just saying. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I know. There have been a few things posted on the internet by other people that aren't happy about this, about how to treat the door knock from these people. So it'd be worth looking up on our news page that Holly does under the alerts. I mean, the whole left column today is full of alerts and her comments on things that are happening. But the second one down is China buying up American farms. Now, I don't know why China would invest the money to buy American farms when they're going to be part of the invasion that clobbers the United States, unless there's some interim food issue that they want to address and get back to their people. I don't know. But you've seen how, you know, they're terrible hygiene. And when they had to kill off a bunch of pigs that had swine flu and whatever, they just threw them into the rivers and polluted the river, you know, the downstream of the river with all this stuff. And it poisons people and the land. And we're going to let them buy farms in the middle of America and do something? I mean, is that just so that they have a foothold to put people into that apparently are farm workers and it's really their soldiers? I don't know. But have a look at that. She says here, Holly does, that remember the pig debacle when they dumped 6,000 dead and rotting pigs into their drinking water. And, you know, I've seen inside Chinese restaurants, inside their kitchens, they just aren't hygienic. You know, they're not tidy people. So it's not a good thing to see that they're buying up our farmland for a multitude of reasons.
No, I hated Chinese food before. Now I hate it even worse. But why? Okay, so you brought up a good question. Why? You know, why? Is there any way that, yeah, I mean, I guess the other side of that is, why in the hell are we selling to them? You know, I suppose it could be through any, you know, middlemen and such, but, no, I wouldn't. You know what? No, thank you. No, thank you. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. You know, they did this in, and they're still doing it in Australia, buying up huge stations or ranches. The Japanese bought up a huge amount of property in Queensland for, you know, tourists and things like that. But the Australian government didn't stop them either. And I think they're going to pay for that because China is pushing its forces in Indonesia, like it's sponsoring a lot of Islamic terrorism there. There are large armies of people with machetes that are being prepared to go down into the northern part of Australia. You know, and eventually one Christian woman had a vision when I was there saying that they will come down and they will invade at our major seaport, their major seaports in Australia, and that eventually the southern half of Australia would be saved by SAS and, you know, Dad's Army people that are funded and given weapons by the SAS to drive back these invaders. But the top half will be gone. It's what's called above the Brisbane line. And, you know, their stupidity is costing them an invasion. Our stupidity is going to cost us the country. We're not going to recover from this. not as a country. There will be survivors and pockets of, you know, people who've got solar power and generators and whatever to help rebuild small pockets, but not, you know, like in New York and some of the major cities, they're going to be totally uninhabitable for generations. So, you know, that's why we encourage people to get EMP shields to save your equipment. So that people nearby, if you don't have your own auxiliary power, that people nearby where you could run an extension cord may share their power with you to run your freezer, your fridge for a few hours a day or something like that. These moments are getting very, very close. In slide 53, six power grid problems that should terrify you. It's an article. And the 6 points, which they cover in detail, are the age of the power grid. How old is our power grid? Some of them are 30 years past their use-by date as far as hardware. It's rotting. And some of the nuclear facilities need to be shut down. Increased blackouts from power grid failure. The war on electricity by the left. The risk of an EMP or solar storm. Possibility of cyber warfare. Direct terrorist attacks against the power grid on our shores, on our soil. And just get to that article and have a look because,
power grid problems.
Yeah. If you go to that, article, there will be a video that will cut in an audio, which you can probably just, you know, mute so it doesn't bug you. But yeah, you're on the page there. That's telling about what's happening, what's going to happen. And again, the need for either getting, you know, solar power if there's time left to get it or generator power and your EMP shields to protect those and your, devices, your electrical devices that could be destroyed. One of the most important, other than fridges and freezers, is going to be communications, like you know, internet. How are we going to communicate without that? Is it going to be shortwave radio or whatever? Yeah, just have a look and prepare if you haven't already. I know it sounds like a broken record, but this we are just crashing into the. Well, we're actually over the cliff edge now. We're starting to slide down into the crevasse of the destruction of the United States.
You know, Stan, it's pretty bad when nuclear power plants still have knob and tube wiring. Although many of the younger people won't get that joke, but
yeah, I know. Yeah. It's gum and bailing wire, actually.
That's right.
There's just so many things that are coming to the forefront to tell the people of Earth, be afraid because we're going to have war, pandemics, you know, food crises, you know, solar EMPs and CMEs and you know, all that kind of stuff. It's driving us like lemmings over the cliff into the hands of a new world order that will, quote unquote, save the people. But with all this vaccination and other stuff and pandemics that arrive out of the blue, I think that the world backdoor Illuminists and whatever are trying to reduce the population of Earth by about 85 to 90%, if not more. That's one of the reasons that, I've never suggested taking these vaccinations because I don't trust them. They're not properly analyzed and tested, and so many thousands of people, tens of thousands, have died because of taking that injection.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah. It's ridiculous. And again, I read a statement, I don't know who's responsible for it, that the most washed part of the human body in 2020 and 2021 is the brain.
Well said. Yeah. No, it's look, my dad and his brothers, and their wives, my mom, and myself, I was old enough to participate in this back in the late 50s, early 60s. We were trying to wake up the Congress, people, to the threat that Russia posed at that time, infiltrating our religious institutions and our religious colleges, infiltrating our educational system and our political system, that we were being slowly taken over and, you know, being directed toward a communist state. We were very vocal and sold books through our book company that, like, like 250,000 copies of one book, which talked about how President Johnson was put into office illegally, you know, by dead voters, and what his real stance was on, you know, the war in Vietnam, and just all kinds of things that we tried to warn people about. And the John Birch Society members, certainly they supported what we were doing, you know, in vast numbers, and others that weren't members of the society, but still were conservative and afraid of what was happening. We were being slowly cooked like the frogs in the pan, you know.
Boiling. It was pre-internet days, too.
Yeah, and that was pre-internet days. What we were doing was the hard way to do it with printed books and mail them out, package them and whatever. So, yeah. Now, what are we now, 50, 60, 70 years later, 60 years, I guess, we're seeing all these things come to a head. That my dad and his brothers, his family, and us, I mean, we're trying to warn people about. And in spite of all the warnings and all the documentation that we supplied, enough of them didn't listen. And then a generation has gone by where two generations actually, have gone by where our children have been misled in the educational facility and not educated enough into America and its precepts. And
civics, no American history.
Yeah, no civics. Yeah, that's right. There's no civics classes and no American history classes. And if you're in Texas, no classes on the Alamo. I mean, I got to put it into perspective. But anyway, this is the great failing. We've got these young people, middle-aged people now, that have not been trained or educated properly, and they don't know that the cat is at the door and we're the mice. You know, the door is open.
The erasing of history and the molding of the narrative by the globalists. This is another thing I read that I thought was applicable, or I think is applicable to what you're saying. Stan, do you know what the difference between conspiracy theory and fact is? About 6 months.
Just saying. Okay. Yeah, yeah, I know. We're ahead of the curve, but they just, we're so, like, degraded in the liberal media and stuff that, you know, the deplorables, evangelical Christians, you know, they're a nuisance.
Now conservatives are equated with conspiracy theorists.
Yeah, and Holly says that now then in the media that conspiracists are equated with what?
Conspiracy theorists are equated with conservatives.
Yeah, are equated with conservatives of any kind. It's not just those groups I was mentioning. You know, we're the enemy of the state. And if we're still here, which I doubt, but if we're still here, they're going to have door knock arrests and they're going to have neighbors. In fact, you're already telling them some cases about COVID stuff. If your neighbor didn't get the injection, or if your neighbor is a prepper, you know, hoarder, turn them in and we'll take care of it. In fact, we'll give you 10% of their goodies, you know, that we confiscate. I mean, this day is at present emerging in the press discussions of it. We're there. We're really there. And for a bit of comic relief here, but serious, in slide 49, one of our Colorado's Republican representatives here is Lauren Boebert, and she's out on the west side of our state. And she was speaking at last weekend's Conservative Political Action Conference in Dallas. And she told the crowd, referencing the COVID door knock business, don't come knocking on my door with your Fauci ouchie. Leave us the hell alone. I like that woman. She's got the right idea.
Oh, you know, I got to tell you. I monitor a web forum, if you will. It's patriots.win. Now, I'm not associated with that at all.
I just put nothing at open carries.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. No. Holly's correct. I mean,
sorry,
this,
Doug.
No. Hey, Holly, come on in. I love you, man. This is, she's featured a lot in the postings there. And you know, it's amazing how the media really treats or mistreats her, just like Marjorie Taylor Greene and others on the conservative side. And one thing you said, one thing Holly said, that you reiterated, that's the fact that conservatives are conspiracy theorists. And never so evident has that been than with the Fauci ouchie, as as Barbara had said.
So
everything is along politically ideological lines. It's being divided there, and or at least being portrayed like that in the media. When I think it's not quite like that, but yes, you're correct. So go ahead.
You know, it's like President Trump with his colloquial phrases about things. I mean, she's kind of using his same kind of rhetoric, you know, this Fauci house. She's like, he kind of belittled a number of his competitors in the 2016 election. But, presidential candidate he called Little Something or Other?
Oh, Little Rubio.
Yeah, Little Rubio. Yeah. But anyway, this is in that same vein, you know, of presentation. I like her.
Oh, I do.
She's
too.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mulford is a giant, though she is a small statured person. She is from Rifle, which is a little podunk town here on the Western Slope. It's less than 10,000 people. And she stands up to these dragons and says, come mess with me.
Yeah.
And, Holly and Dale, folks. Holly Dale making a cameo right here on Hagman Report. I love it. Yes, you're right.
She's good. She's good. But she's got her hair in curlers and a towel, so she's not going to make an appearance. Oh, dear.
She'd look good in a burlap sap. So.
Yeah. Hey, I know, but she's just such a shy person. She wants to dig out all these facts. And then before showtime, she'll come over and say, all right, now, be sure to tell them about this, what I said on the page here, and this is very important here. Click to that news, which is very helpful. But sometimes she starts telling me about that at 7 in the morning before we get to the evening and stuff. She starts way early in the day telling me these things when my mind is wondering, what planet am I on? It's so early, you know. And so later on, like now, she's reminding me of the earlier notices. But it's good. It's quite healthy.
You know, it's we can never be too informed about things. God bless you, Eric. We can never be too informed. So that's good.
Doug, I've got one last comment, and I'm going to beg off. Pete Hegseth was interviewed by Mark Levin, and they are both on the same page. We are not peering over the cliff of the abyss. We are now crawling and climbing ourselves out of it.
Yeah.
Pretty profound. And yes, I agree with that. I agree.
Yeah. Again, distress. I go from good news to bad news, so we balance it out. People don't want to run off and hide somewhere. But in slide 50, it says the United States moves 35 fighter jets closer to China to run attack drills. The U.S. Air Force is sending 25 F-22 Raptors, 10 F-15E Strike Eagles, and a pair of C-130s and approximately 800 airmen to Guam and to Tinian in a display of the force's strategic flexibility that analysts may send a message to the potential adversaries like China. Hey, we're close. When we're over there saber-rattling right on their doorstep, you know, whether we're going to win or not is another thing, but we're close to a confrontation. I mean, America, you know, like Babylon, thinks, hey, we've got the greatest military in the world. Nobody can beat us. You know, we've got the greatest food system. You know, we're like all singing, all dancing. We're the greatest. And the world looks at the United States at the moment, or they did before Biden and his crew got in, as Nirvana, the place to go, you know, for freedom and all kinds of, you know, physical comforts and goodies and rights that they don't have in their countries. And this is Babylon again, people running to Babylon from all the nations, you know, creating this nation with about, I don't know, 70 or 80 languages being practiced in our country here. 350, said the lady in the corner there. 350 languages that we now have.
Wait. 350 languages in this country?
I have it documented, Doug.
Where is it on our website?
Prophetic Perils. I will send him a link.
Oh, okay, it's in our book, The Prophetic Perils, about their 350 languages spoken
we
in this country.
We are Babylon.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm doing the Tucker Carlson. You know how he looks. You know, I'm doing that look because wow, that thinking about it. Well, you know, 10 years ago when I was working in New York City, or however long it was, I swear you could drop somebody in Chinatown or in the China area there. And, I mean, even the McDonald's signs were in Chinese. It's like, what country am I in? You're right, though. Okay. 350. That's amazing. Wow.
It says 350 between that and 430.
Oh, between 350 and 430.
I'm sending the link now.
And she's sending you the link to see it.
One word, English. But okay.
Well, English? English? Is that taught in foreign language now? Or?
I see what you did there.
Yeah. 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 My brother Jimmy and his wife are over, Carmen, they're over in China, teaching English to the Chinese, you know, among other things as Christians that they share with people there. But, I thought it was kind of funny that he would go over and teach the Chinese English when he did not and still does not speak Chinese at all.
How does that work? That. I mean, I'm serious. How the hell? Okay.
Look, his wife speaks Chinese, you know, Carmen. She's from Hong Kong. But when he was first there, I know he decided to get on a train and explore. I knew he ended up somewhere in the north of China on the end of a train run, you know, a train line. And he was in the train station, and he's thinking, where am I? And how do I get back to where I was? And here are all these Chinese running around speaking Chinese, of course. And he stopped a Chinese military man and said, look, me lost, go, you know, a lot of hand signals. And the guy fortunately spoke enough English to put him on the train to go home. But, you know, I've talked to my brother about that. I said, you know, I know you think the Lord sent you there to witness and everything, but it certainly would have been better if you could speak some of the language, you know, it just wasn't wise. And he just laughed. But anyway, wow. That's Jimmy. Okay, your link is coming.
Thank you. And folks, you heard it here, and maybe you're as surprised as I am, but between 350 and 400 some odd languages. Go ahead.
Yeah.
It's spoken in the United States, but it's just mind-boggling.
It is. It is. Yeah. Speaking of languages, it's a little bit of a segue, but, you know, the 2,500 Afghanis that helped our military as translators when we had it, you know, while we were over there, finally the Pentagon, you know, and hence Biden, have agreed to bring these guys home over here to make America their home. And there, if you click on slide 54, it takes you to an article about that. They're going to be put in a military installation at Fort Lee in central Virginia while they're processed. And I was so glad to see this because, well, in one respect, glad because we've taken them out of the danger from the Taliban and others who would want to kill them for, you know, helping the U.S. Army over there. On the other hand, we're bringing them over here to the United States, you know, to the great capital of Babylon. And when Babylon goes, they're going to go. So it's only giving them a short extension on life. But it was a good gesture. In my opinion, it was a fair thing to do for them, for their help to us. Anyway, that was that article. You can read it and see what's going on there. Yeah. Yeah.
Look at the
rivers. Yeah. Well, Hollins remind me. I mean, there's so many things that tell you about why America fits the role of Babylon. And one of them is the land of rivers. Well, you're not going to look in Iraq and, you know, for the old Babylon there and call it the land of rivers. The United States, if you look in her book there, in the Prophetic Perils, you'll see a picture of the United States kind of from afar. And it's the rivers are all shown in blue. And it's like a blue glob. You know, the country is just filled with rivers. And that was Babylon in the Mystery Babylon description. So we've had, you know, great food, great crops, great weather, great rain and water and isolation from our enemies. It's no wonder that people want to be here and be part of.
China's trying to buy up our farms.
And yeah, I did mention it earlier, Holly, but China's trying to buy up our farms, which again to me seems strange because the farms aren't going to be viable for very long once they invade with Russia and Iran and destroy our infrastructure and farms and whatever. Anyway, that's maybe some kind of a psychological ploy. I don't know. slide 51. Downloads a PDF for you, and it's talking about North Korea. Multiple credible foreign sources, including from South Korea, China, and Russia, including two of Russia's foremost EMP weapons experts, alleged the design for Russia's super EMP nuclear weapon leaked or was transferred to North Korea. Now, what the heck have they got in this super EMP weapon? Have they changed the frequency, you know, the strength of it? I don't know, you know, but it just begs the issue. You know, you've got to be prepared. If you click on the picture, you can see what kind of missiles they've got in their arsenal. It gives you an idea of the range. And, you know, a lot of it's just in their area there, but they can get to the United States, the eastern side of it. And I think that's about the major part of where they can get these ballistic missiles. But still, it's on shore, and it could do us a lot of damage, especially, you know, if they hit nuclear facilities or Washington or, you know, DOD or anything like that. Just click on the picture, and you see that large map there. North Korea has not gone away. And Russia's super EMP weapon, maybe our Defense Department, I mean, they haven't exactly told us over at EMP Shield, but because we deal with them. But I don't know what that means, that super EMP nuclear weapon. It will obviously produce an EMP pulse, but what else will it do? Is that just a real estate property with neutron, you know, as a neutron bomb or what? I don't know. Again, all these things are coming up in the news. This is all current news to tell us that, you know, hey, we're in deep doo, guys.
Yeah. So, and I do believe that the EMP shield is important, because the level of protection that the EMP shield offers to me, at least in my view, maybe this super EMP or whatever it might be. All right. As you're researching this, you know, maybe that's down the road. I would suspect that having an EMP shield to me gives me the reassurance that my electronics, including my vehicle, and my generator and whatever else that I might own, electronic wise, is they're protected. So when power does come back on, I don't have to worry, or if the alternative power sources are available, don't have to worry. So it's all good. EMPShield.com/Hagman, or I'm sorry, EMPShield.com, code Hagman, promo code Hagman for $50 off, and you order more and you get more off, and it's a great deal, and it's something that it's only smart to have. EMPShield.com. All right.
Yeah, I was looking at the page that you've got up there from our website at the EMPShield. And surprisingly, they've still got this sale going on, that those lines down there. So one EMP shield, two, three, four, multiple, and the discount that you will get for it. Yep. But that's in addition to the $50 off that you're offering. So, you know, it's a real savings. And you have to take advantage of it right
now. I'm waiting for the day that you're going to be paying other, you know, paying people to buy these shields, because, I don't know how you do it. I really don't know how you do what you do, because I do know what it takes. On my end, know what it takes to really create this, and how much blood, sweat, and tears you put into this, the teamwork and such. So, folks, this is really a good deal. It really is. So take advantage of the sale that's still going on. And yeah, that was a plug for the EMP shield. You know, but we want you around, you know, we want you around and as whole as possible. WHOLE, as whole as possible, after any kind of attack or loss, whether it be by the sun or other ways. So they're very good. And by the way, the map that Holly was referencing, or the 350 to 430 languages, when you look at the graphic that, and I'll put the link in the program description box at HagmanReport.com, I'm going to tell you, I can see it. I can see it. It's not exactly comforting, but I can see it. All right. So, and there it is, by the way, the link.
Oh, yeah, there it is, yeah.
Yeah, and it's really part of this it's all part of this balkanization of the United States, because you take away our unification or unity, our common morals and heritage and culture, and especially our common language, you take away our nation. You really do. So, or you destroy our nation.
Yeah. You mentioned the Balkanization, the World War II, was it? Was it the Balkan powder keg? When was it, one or two?
I guess
it was one. Yeah.
Yes.
When Archduke, Ferdinand was assassinated. And that, created a big problem, So we're here, we're divided in counties and states and stuff by all these language barriers. And it just makes no sense to let people come into this country without requiring that they study English and be able to communicate in English, at least at a basic level, so that our population can work together and understand each other. Without the understanding of each other, conflicts grow, personal conflicts, Alexander the Great, when he captured, or took over countries which had different languages, when he took from their population, their young men, soldiers, when he took their foreign soldiers into his army, he created a language called Koine Greek, because he wanted his soldiers to be able to take commands, give commands, and communicate with each other. So he invented a language to unify all the countries that he had captured or, overrun or whatever. But it just makes sense. And we haven't done that. And I don't think there's time left for us to do that here. Another interesting thing that's light, not harmful or anything, in slide 47, up on the International Space Station, they've been testing crops growing up there, like lettuce and things like that, to get, vitamin C and other nutrients out of their homegrown crops up on the ISS. Now, they're growing peppers now then, and I'm not sure if that's a habanero pepper or not that they're showing. But from the article that I read about it there, which you can click on, the text down there and see, the space food is kind of bland. And so they're looking for ways to get it to taste, better and tastier, right?
I have an idea. Grow it on Earth. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I did not know was that astronauts on the ISS can lose some of their sense of taste and smell. What zero G does or whatever. I'd never heard that before. And so it ups the demand for a spicy and seasoned food so they can actually taste it. Now, isn't that incredible? Why does weightlessness or space, affect your taste and your smell? It's a bit of a problem when you think about it. If you've got a gas leak or a fire or something that you haven't seen, you can't smell the smoke, too well. I mean, that's interesting. But
Stan, I mean, silver cloud in every lining, you're up there so close and you get a Chipotle delivery up there by DoorDash or Space Dash, you might want to lose your sense of never.
Oh, true. It would be a mad run to the space toilet sometimes too. On the slide 45, I've got a picture. You can click on the picture and see it. This is called a heat dome. It's where the prevailing winds and clouds and stuff form a high pressure area, kind of dome shaped, over over the land here, and it allows temperatures to start rising above normal, between 10 and 15 degrees higher, and there's high risk of fire, and heat-related illnesses. And you're looking at that. If you click on that picture and look at it, you can see that that is happening around us. And they are saying here that the Rockies and Northern Plains into the middle of this week is going to have this triple-digit heat, 10 to 20 degrees above normal. I'd never heard of anything called a heat dome, but I guess this high-pressure area, the air is thicker, more dense and heavier, obviously. That's how you get that high pressure. But a heat dome. And we're seeing the signs of these fires all around, the West Coast and up into, the northern part of the United States, central northern.
Wow.
Heat dome.
Is that okay? So would that be naturally caused? I know what that is. I know what I'm looking at. I mean, is this part of weather manipulation? I don't want to sound like I'm crazy, but okay. Because I know here, okay, we've had a crazy crappy July weather-wise. And Saturday I was out in an investigation, and it was raining sideways, okay? I mean, the winds, the rain, the, you know, frogs and locusts were coming down. And, you know, so, but is this a natural occurrence with this heat dome thing?
Normally, yes. With our knowledge since the late 1970s, or middle 1970s, actually, with our knowledge on the planet, the scientists' knowledge, it is possible to engineer local weather events. Now, whether they can do that to us now and get an instant result like this, which in weather terms, this is instant. It's pretty, you know, like several days instead of like waiting several months for the prevailing climate to change and move weather one way or another. So, yeah, there may be a way to do that. I don't know about it, but yeah, I mean, it's like a super harp type attack. I don't know. Hmm. It's certainly not doing any good to our crops and, you know, to our power consumption. It is overloading a lot of places because of people needing air conditioning and refrigeration.
Well, I just kind of find it very interesting that we have, like you mentioned initially when you came on, we've got drought in certain places. We've got we've got drought in places that we can't afford to have. The water levels going down, it, you know, affects power, it affects crops, it affects a lot of things, and it just seems like really convenient. Now, again, I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, wow, you know, what better components of a storm, you know, could you possibly engineer if that's what it is? But then again, what do I know? I'm just looking at this and saying, wow, this is just, you know.
Look, it's not, you know, being a conspiracy nut to think this way, because if you look at the big picture of the United States and what China and Russia, and even Iran to a degree, are doing, is they have been hitting us with long-term, you know, moves, chess moves, to lead us to the point where we are taken down as a country and able to be invaded, and in this case, it's going to be destroyed by China and Russia. And it involves financial things, disease things, weather things, you know, technical issues on the internet and stuff like that with, you know, hacking, power, you know, loss. There are a number of areas where you can see that we've had these coincidental, but all occurring at the same time, hits to our country and to its people. It's softening us up, getting ready for when they take us down, where we can't communicate, where we don't have enough power. And certainly our army is not able to defend us, and our weapons are being, you know, defeated by China and Russia and their new developments.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's, you look at it and you think, wow, when you mentioned chess, and, I'd love to play chess with you one day. I'm sure I'd get my butt whooped, but,
I doubt it.
No, I'm telling you. But anyway, speaking of chess, today happens to be National Chess Day. So in case anyone, you know, you can mark that on your calendar. Okay. Right.
Okay. Yeah. There's an interesting kind of bug or small, very small bug been discovered over in Australia. It's called a super bug, and it's being found in the hospitals. And I don't know exactly how it relates to golden staph or some of these super bugs that, you know, modern antibiotics aren't killing. But when you see the article, it'll show you how, you know, it's there, and you know how this scientist, she found it in the backyard in some dirt samples she took. It's a video, and I was reminded, you know, when I read this or I viewed it, that people have not mentioned in the government reports and civilian reports that MediHoney, which has very strong antibacterial properties, you know, it's been used on wounds that were open wounds in the stomach after surgery, and they would not heal, and they had, you know, junk forming around it, and they had to keep cleaning the bandage two or three times a day. When they took this MediHoney, which is grown from the Manuka plant in New Zealand, and spread it over the wound areas, within 24 hours, a lot of the tissue that wasn't healing, that was raw, that was, you know, getting infected and reinfected, started to heal. And it instantly was killing the bacteria in the body, even golden staph. So if superbugs like they're talking about here or other you know, bioagents or just normal things that get dug up in the ice or soil or whatever, if these become an issue, remember to use MediHoney as a natural biotic, antibody, because hospitals aren't going to be available, medicine's not going to be available, but this will keep. I've got ours in metal containers and stuff that are sealed so that we can, you know, apply it as a sterilizing agent to help people that have got, you know, gunshot wounds or fingers cut or whatever, and then are getting infected. Just remember that. You can click on the government report there where it says C-S-E-E, and then you click on that, and you'll see the government report that they produced because it's that important.
I've seen that work wonders.
Although,
you know, I really have. That honey. I've seen
and
it.
And here we are in the middle of COVID. Yeah. I mean, so have I. I've used it on me, too. And one of our friends was going to lose his, her husband was going to lose his arm from an accident that crushed a finger. The infection went straight up his arm, and they could not do it even with constant drip bags of antibiotics. I gave her a tube about that big, about 2 inches long with MediHoney. She applied it to the finger where the infection was starting, and the whole arm healed and saved his hand and his arm and everything they were going to cut off. So, yeah, it does work. And I'm not a salesman for MediHoney, but you can get it. Just be sure you get the stuff that's got Manuka honey from New Zealand and has an RF or like a rating of at least 15 plus in its concentration of the Manuka plant stuff that does the sterilizing. Yeah. Wonderful stuff. And along those lines, I know that there's you know, like for the Hope we've talked to, we asked them how they preserve food, like, beans and corn and stuff like that, that they can dry. How do they preserve it for like 30 years in these little clay pots that they've got? They burn trees into ash, and they take that ash and they put it in amongst all the corn and, you know, beans and whatever. They sink them in a sea of ash and close the lid on the jar or the clay pot. Now, there are components in that which are called phenols, and the same stuff is found in the Manuka bush that makes the MediHoney, and they can keep food in that from all the infections and bacteria that might get to it for 30 years in just a clay pot with a lid on it. So this MediHoney is along the same lines, and even the Romans and the Greeks used just normal honey for wound treatment in the ancient days. But this is like, you know, a big gun now, that stuff in New Zealand. So get you some of that and put it in your medicine cabinet. It's really good advice. It'll help you. Yeah. Oh, you've watched Star Trek, obviously, and you've heard of the Borg, you know, those strange beings that say, you know, resistance is futile. We're going to assimilate you into our collective and change your body.
Yep.
Well, they've got a Borg wallet now. It's in slide 42. Mysterious new Borg DNA seems to assimilate genes from different organisms. Interesting article, and this particular organism, I guess we just call it that, is able to go in and pull what it wants from other living things to add to its DNA profile. Kind of a cool little guy. I think there's probably a way, if we had time and the motivation, to use that to help us in medicine and creation of, or like of healing of people, you know, where you could go in and assimilate parts of, say, like a virus and be able to be directed at it as a virus killer. Anyway, just an interesting development.
And that, folks, is why Standeo is the, you know, standeo.com is the resource that you need to bookmark and do that. Stan, we got about 3 minutes left, so
good. Okay. Another thing in slide 41, there's pictures before and after of a lake, a frozen lake at one of the poles here, I think, well, the South Pole. And the lake disappeared within 3 days. And they're talking about something called hydrofracturing or water cracking of the ice. And it cracks deep down into there and allowed this and many other lakes that have disappeared at the Antarctic to go down and add water to the sea level. And this was a thing that wasn't kind of figured into, you know, by NASA and others about, you know, the sea level rise on the planet and how long it would take and that kind of stuff. These things are, you're not even having to have a glacier drop into the ocean. It forms a crack down directly into the ocean underneath that area, and the water drains out. Now, lakes do form, and some of them are 32 degrees but not frozen, and all that water just falls down into the ocean. So this is another factor that's going to add to sea level rise. And for people in, you know, island countries and you know, the coast of Australia and the United States, people who live right on the coast will see property damage and destruction if this continues to happen at the rate it is. Just another thing pressing on us to weaken our situation. Yes, slide 38 is the... it's a video. You can click on it and go look at whatever day you click on it. It'll give you the 48-hour look at the sun turning and the active regions and the dark spots, etc. You know, look at those things, you know, the coronal holes. Look at them from time to time and save this link so that you can see for the last, 2 days what the sun has been doing and what is coming your direction in some cases. It only takes a snapshot every so many, so many hours in a day. It's not continuous, but it's worth looking at. And we had, we've got 1 minute. Slide 47 will take you to the far side explosion, the coronal mass ejection, the CME, that was like a halo. It formed a circle on the other side of the sun, but it was so explosive, so powerful, that we felt it here on Earth. And you don't want that facing us. And so this is an article to read about, you know, what would happen, you know, if that were to happen while it was facing us. And that's basically what we've got to talk about today, guys.
Well, Stan, I want to thank you so very much for your gift of wisdom, all of your wisdom. And Holly, thank you as well for all that you do. StanDeo.com, folks, that's where to go for the just click on show images to follow along. Also for, check them out on your own time as well. So, Stan, thank you very much. God bless you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Right. Folks, that'll do it for me tonight. HagmanReport.com. Bookmark that website. Follow us. And, of course, thank you for your support. Busy weekend into Monday yesterday. Of course, working with Russ Dizdar. And keep him and his team in your prayers. That'll do it for me. Have a great night.